The Lord is my shepherd. Now, you might be familiar with these words and they might roll off your tongue with ease. But have you ever truly grasped their depth, their gravity? These words are not just a gentle whisper of comfort, but a resounding declaration of trust. An invitation to place every ounce of our lives under God's divine care and direction. To declare that the Lord is my shepherd is to acknowledge that God Himself has chosen to walk alongside us, guiding our steps and protecting our souls. It's a pledge, a divine promise, that no matter how lost or overwhelmed we may feel, we are never alone. We have a shepherd who knows every valley we must cross and every shadow that will attempt to darken our path. He knows the terrain ahead and He leads with wisdom that surpasses human understanding. And oh, when we lean into that guidance, when we submit our ways to His ways, that's when the journey begins to transform. The path may be rough, the way uncertain, but we can walk with confidence, knowing that He who leads us is faithful. Even when we cannot see the destination, we can trust the shepherd who sees all things. Then David goes on to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, saints, don't miss this divine instruction. You see, we live in a world that tells us to keep moving, keep pushing, keep grinding until there's nothing left. But God, in His infinite wisdom, calls us to rest. Yes, rest is not merely a luxury. It is a divine gift. When the shepherd makes us lie down, He is saying, pause, breathe, rest in my presence. And He leads us not to barren lands, but to green pastures, places of abundance and nourishment. In these pastures, we find the sustenance our souls so desperately crave. The world may demand that we strive constantly, but God whispers, be still. You see, rest in His care is not about passiveness. It's about replenishment. It's about understanding that we are not sustained by our own efforts, but by His grace. And when we embrace this rest as an act of worship, we declare that we trust Him to provide. So find your green pastures, beloved. Make space for those moments of divine rest and watch how God replenishes your strength, renews your mind, and restores your soul. And then He leads us beside still waters. Oh, how precious these waters are. They are not the raging currents of chaos, but the still, quiet waters of peace and provision. You see, in the still, we find what we truly need. God's provision is never scarce, and His waters are never empty. But too often, we look to the world to quench our thirst, to satisfy our needs, only to find that it leaves us parched and wanting. The still waters of God's provision, however, are always abundant. They flow from a source that never runs dry. And when we trust in God's provision, we let go of the fear that we won't have enough, that we must strive and toil to meet our own needs. Instead, we develop a mindset of abundance, grounded in the faith that God will supply. He will meet us right where we are with everything we need to continue on the journey. So drink deeply from these still waters, beloved. Let them bring peace to your soul and quench every thirst you carry. Then the psalmist goes on to say, He restores my soul. Oh, glory be to God. God's restoration is profound. In His arms, our weary souls find healing. This restoration isn't a one-time event, but an ongoing journey. Every hurt, every disappointment, every wound, He mends them all. He takes our broken pieces, the fragments of our past, and in His hands, He crafts something beautiful. God's restoration is not merely about fixing what is broken, but transforming it into something new, something holy, something worthy of His love. And beloved, when we open our hearts to this restoration, we allow God to work in us in ways we could never imagine. Our souls are renewed, our spirits are uplifted, and our burdens are lifted. This journey of restoration is one of daily surrender, an ongoing willingness to let God heal us from the inside out. As we walk this path, we find that we are not merely restored, but transformed, bearing the marks of His love upon our very souls. And then when David said, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, he wasn't speaking of a mere suggestion. He was laying down the foundation of a life that is committed to honoring God. In a world that entices us to walk in ways that gratify the flesh and glorify ourselves, God's path to righteousness is a call to something higher, something that carries eternal weight. This path is not easy, nor is it meant to be. For it's a journey that shapes, molds, and purifies. It's a path where every step you take is in alignment with His truth and His purpose. This is a call to walk uprightly, to pursue holiness, to live a life that is not just morally sound, but spiritually profound. The world is watching, my friend, and our walk speaks louder than our words ever could. When we walk in righteousness, we become a living testament to the goodness of God. But let's not sugarcoat it. There will be moments when the way gets hard, when righteousness demands sacrifices that feel unbearable. In those moments, we must remember that this path of righteousness is not a burden, but a blessing. Not a restriction, but a release from the chains of sin and self-destruction. It's here where your character is forged and your legacy is established. Those who choose righteousness leave a trail of godliness that others can follow. They become the pillars of faith, the ones whose lives point others back to the Creator. And so, how do we pursue righteousness, especially when the world pulls us in every direction but towards God? It begins with small daily acts of obedience. It begins with choosing God's way over our own, even when His way doesn't make sense. It's about dying to self, about saying yes to God when everything within you wants to say no. That's where transformation happens. Now, if we're going to walk this path, we've got to address the valleys, those dark and treacherous places that we all must face. David reminds us of an undeniable truth when he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Notice, he didn't say if, but though. There's a certainty in this statement that life will bring valleys, but there's also an assurance that we don't have to be consumed by them. The secret to overcoming fear lies not in avoiding the valleys, but in recognizing that you don't walk through them alone. God's presence is your portion. His hand is your guide. His spirit is your strength. When you cultivate an awareness of His presence, fear loses its grip. Anxiety, worry, doubt, they all fade in the light of His glory. You see, fear cannot coexist with the presence of God. The enemy may try to fill your heart with terror, but when you know that God is with you, you can look fear in the face and declare, "I will not be moved." Let me tell you something about that rod and that staff. When David said, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," he was referring to instruments that were both for protection and correction. The rod was used to fend off predators, to protect the sheep from danger, but it was also used to guide them, to keep them from wandering. You may not always understand why God corrects you or why He guides you in a direction that feels uncomfortable. But know this, His rod and His staff are signs of His love. They are evidence that He cares too much to leave you to your own devices. Sometimes His correction may sting. Sometimes His guidance may lead you into places that you didn't want to go. But it is in His correction that we find direction, and it is in His guidance that we find comfort. His rod and His staff are there to remind you that you are not alone, that you have a shepherd who is committed to your safety and your salvation. Then the psalmist goes on to say, "He restores my soul." Oh, glory be to God. In His arms our weary souls find healing. This restoration isn't a one-time event, but an ongoing journey. Every hurt, every disappointment, every wound, He mends them all. He takes our broken pieces, the fragments of our past, and in His hands He crafts something beautiful. God's restoration is not merely about fixing what is broken, but transforming it into something new, something holy, something worthy of His love. And beloved, when we open our hearts to this restoration, we allow God to work in us in ways we could never imagine. Our souls are renewed, our spirits are uplifted, and our burdens are lifted. This journey of restoration is one of daily surrender, an ongoing willingness to let God heal us from the inside out. And as we walk this path, we find that we are not merely restored, but transformed, bearing the marks of His love upon our very souls. And then when David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Oh, what a profound declaration of God's relentless favor. We are not merely invited to sit at any table. We are not merely invited to sit at any table. We are invited to dine in the presence of those who would rather see us fall. This table, prepared by the Almighty, is a testament to His abundant blessings. Even amid opposition, even as the storms rage and the adversaries gather, it signifies that God does not need the absence of enemies to bless you. No, He blesses you right in front of them, showing His power to prosper you in the very place others might wish you to perish. And here is where we must cultivate a mindset of abundance, to recognize that God's table is laden with blessings even when the battle is fierce. When we believe in His ability to provide for us and protect us, we shift from surviving to thriving. We step into a divine flow where our focus shifts from the enemies around us to the blessings within reach. And in doing so, we walk in the abundance of God's provision, regardless of what surrounds us. And then, my brothers and sisters, there is the next revelation. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is not just any anointing. This is the sacred, fragrant anointing of the Almighty, declaring His favor upon your life and marking you for a purpose beyond what human eyes can see. It is as if God Himself has taken His mighty hand, dipped it in the oil of His presence, and placed it upon your head, declaring to every force in heaven and on earth that you are His chosen vessel. To walk in this anointing is to walk with confidence, knowing that you are marked by God. You are not just anyone, you are called, appointed, and chosen for such a time as this. And when you live in the understanding of this divine anointing, it impacts every interaction, every challenge, every moment you face. You no longer approach life as a mere participant. You walk as a person who carries the overflow of God's favor. And this overflow, it is not limited. It is not scarce. It is not rationed. God's blessings are limitless. The oil that runs over your head does not trickle. It pours. It does not diminish. It multiplies. You live with a sense of divine overflow, recognizing that with every step, every breath, God's favor is upon you. But that's not all, because there is yet another revelation that we must grasp. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Imagine that not some days, not just the good days, but all the days of your life. This means that even in the days of sorrow, in the days of struggle, in the days when it seems all hope is lost, goodness and mercy are still there. They are your constant companions, relentless in their pursuit, unfailing in their devotion. God's goodness is His gift to you, and His mercy is His love that covers you. When you recognize this, when you truly grasp that goodness, and mercy are not just concepts but active forces following you, it changes the way you live. You begin to see each day not as a random series of events, but as an unfolding of God's kindness and grace. Your steps are ordered, your paths are guided, and your life is shielded by these twin angels, goodness and mercy. And when you live with an awareness of these divine gifts, you become intentional with your actions, thoughtful in your relationships, and steadfast in your faith.